This is the Mixed Coach Podcast, episode 38. We're going to talk today about how do you know when you're done with a mix.
Welcome to the Mixed Coach Podcast, the podcast dedicated to making your next recording your best recording. Hey guys, this is the Mixed Coach Podcast, and Kevin and I are sitting here talking, and we're talking about final printing of mixes after a day, a long day of mixing. You've been mixing, you know, maybe an album, like say 8 to 10 songs, something like that. And you're to the point where you're happy, you're done, you're hitting the final print key, and you're printing them off so you can export them and send them to master. Or if you're a mastering engineer, you're literally done with your mastering and you're going to print them to send them to the duplicator. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there, and there's something psychologically that whenever I first started out, it was I would sit there, and after the long day, fatigue, all that sort of thing is kicking in, and you hear something, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. And so you hear something in the mix, and you go back and you tweak it and you change it. And about the sixth or seventh time you do this on the first track of the 10, you realize, yeah, maybe I'm not actually hearing these. Maybe they're actually just, yeah, a result of being fatigued.
Yeah.
And so, Kevin, you know, how do you deal with something like that? I mean, I know a while back, I guess it was about a year and change ago, maybe 2 years, something like that. We were talking about how you sit around the corner. And so, like, just explain it to, yeah, everybody kind of what your final printing, yeah, of the mixes kind of is like.
Well, first of all, let me ask you about your question. You said you hit the print key. Is there a print key?
Well, there is a
print key. That I'm not aware of?
But it doesn't... So you record, the record key, the Apple, yeah, space bar.
Yeah. Well, you know, mixing is honestly a controlled mind game. Sometimes it's controlled. On a good day, it's controlled. And on other days, you pretty much have to outsmart yourself,
yeah,
in the mix process. So one of the things that I do, as you mentioned, and I had forgotten, to be honest with you, that I told you this, but yeah, that's usually one of the things I'll do is when I print the mix, I will usually, if my wife is, you know, good to go on this, I'll usually get her to come down and sit in my seat and listen to my mix.
Yeah.
Because it does something psychologically to me when someone else is listening to the mix.
Mm.
You should try this sometimes. And it seems like we've covered that subject before, but you should try to get someone you trust who, mm-hmm, will tell you the truth and not just say, oh, your mix sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. And not just, you know, just go there, but someone who'll say, I can't understand what he's saying right there. Mm. That is gold right there. And that's what Jana, my wife, says to me. You know, she'll say, I can't understand what he says right there, and that singer right there, that one right there, it's getting on my nerves for some reason.
Yeah.
And I'll think, maybe I've got it too loud, or right, maybe it's EQ'd funny, or right, you know, maybe there's something I could do. So usually what I'll do is I'll put someone else in my seat. Usually,
yeah,
it's a client, but you know, as of late, it seems like you do more mixing on the internet than you do,
right,
or you know, and use MP3 stuff back and forth. But when I can, I'll usually let the client sit there, or someone you trust, and then I'll usually either walk around the room, I'll go and, you know, stand just outside the door, or I'll go to the bathroom and listen from the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who's wondered why I spend the whole mix in the bathroom, that now you know, I'm listening to the mix. Or I'll go around the corner, like in my studio is kind of L-shaped, and in one part of the L is my studio and the kitchenette, and then around the other side of the L is kind of a lounge. I'll usually go to the far side of the lounge and listen to it. It's kind of like you're, you know, if you're painting,
mm-hmm,
and you're looking at the detail of the shadow of this leaf on this tree.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can obsess over the leaf to a default, or to a fault, to where the end result of a perfect leaf is a bad painting.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that little bit of distortion that got through on that whatever, if you zoom out and look at the picture as a big mix and, mm, one work, instead of, let's see, the snare mix is great. Mm-hmm. Let's see, the kick mix is great. Let's see, the bass guitar mix is great. You can't really do that and have an overall great mix. So at, mm-hmm, some point, you've got to zoom out, mm-hmm, and you've got to listen to the mix as one piece. And even to a further extent, you've got to look at your whole record mm-hmm. as one piece.
Yeah.
And then that's when you have to go and listen to the whole work as one piece instead mm-hmm. of like individual, you know, as we're zooming in now as like individual songs and then
yeah.
individual parts and then individual EQs of individual instruments. Because if you zoom in too far like that, you will lose your mind
yeah.
in a mix, because it really is a mind game. If you've ever been, what's the word I'm looking for? If you've ever been a little bit paranoid about how you mix and then you start thinking about that sort of thing, you will definitely, it will not
It'll
be good for
you. Yeah.
You have to practice. And then when it comes time to the mix, you have to go with what you've practiced. It's
yeah.
kind of like the Mr. Miyagi on the Karate Kid, you know. The Karate Kid didn't know why he was wax on, wax off.
Right.
He thought that Mr. Miyagi was just telling him a bunch of drills to do until Mr. Miyagi said, you know, block the sponge.
Yeah.
And then he wax on, you know. That's probably a stupid analogy to do, but really all this time that you spend experimenting with which reverb works on the snare drum,
right,
which EQ, which compressor, which we, you know, we talked about all this stuff several
yeah.
podcasts ago, and I would urge you to go and take a look at it. But you know, you practice all this stuff and you save presets and things like that, so that when Mr. Miyagi comes up to you and says, do this mix,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's instinct then, and you don't have to second guess yourself too much. So,
right.
So that's how I look at a mix, because, and what you have to do is just a series of things you've learned along the way, including that mix. But at some point you have to say,
step back.
You have to, and you have to, and I learned this early on because I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. I've kind of gotten over it a little bit. But I remember when I first got my first big, I was a studio chief engineer at a studio in North Carolina. And I remember one of the first projects that I was given was a fairly high profile project.
Mm.
And I remember calling to my, I think I called my mom that night, and we were talking about my new job. You know, I wasn't married then. And I said, the hardest thing I've got to deal with is I don't know when I'm done with this mix.
Yeah.
And she said, are they happy with the mix? And I said, they seem to be. And she said, it sounds like you're about done then.
Absolutely.
Well, and you know, and I've applied a little bit more to that, because that wasn't quite good enough for me. So I applied one more thing to it. Each day brings a different set of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You may be sick that day. You may, your favorite plug-in might not be working.
Yeah.
You may be mixing in a different studio.
Mm.
You may be there's a ton of things. You may have a client that's really bearing down on you.
Yeah.
You may have a time shortage.
Yeah.
You may have a money shortage.
Mm-hmm.
There's every day brings a different set of circumstances for you. So what you have to do, if you're like me, and this is the only way I could sleep at night, you have to ask yourself at the end of the day, did I do the best I could do with what I was given to do it with, and the time I was given to do it in?
Mm.
You have to ask that to yourself every day. And if you can honestly say, I did everything I could, then you are pretty much done. Anything that was a mistake that you could have done better, but you didn't know to do better, you can't really do anything. All you can do is apply that to the next
mix.
Next
time. Yeah.
But at that time. And now if they come back and say, you know, we need for you to do this better, this is not good enough, then you should chalk it up to experience, and that's another opportunity to nail this mix again. But don't try to get in your head too much to think, because you can literally talk yourself right out of the right thing to do
yeah.
if you're not careful. So at the end of the day, what I had to do was, are they happy, and did I do everything that I knew to do in the circumstances that I had to do it in? Did I do everything I could? And if the answer is yes, then I can move on.
Yeah.
If the answer is no, sometimes you still have to move on.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, just try to make it up. But, you know, we talked about not competing on price a couple of podcasts ago.
Yeah.
This is where you compete. This is where you go the extra mile. Now, you're a good steward. You don't spend all day on a snare drum like we talked about.
Right.
You spend the time you're given. You know, if you've got 10 songs to mix in a day, and you've only got 10 hours to mix that day,
mm-hmm.
that means you need to be done with a mix in an hour.
Yeah.
And in mixing in an hour, you can't spend 45 minutes on the reverb on the snare.
Yeah.
You have got to go with your instincts, and you've got to pull the old wax on, wax off sort of thing. So
yeah. Just let it flow.
Yeah. You do.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. And it, the stepping back, man, that really, you know, puts things in perspective, you know, as far as, you know, on the final print, whenever you go to do it, it's like you step back and you say, now, is that it? You know, there it is, you know, that's yeah. what it is, you know,
yeah.
That really, and that was something that really, helped me, like I said, 2 years ago or so, you know, it really helped me out to on that final print, whenever I would kind of psych myself out of, you know, oh man, I did that funky thing with the snare and it sounds really cool, but I don't know, you know, it's, you got to dedicate to something at that point.
Yeah, and there comes a point too. And I think the best mixers are experimenters and people who are musician type, and some of the best musicians, you know, you get some of the best old school jazz musicians and they're all the time doing things that they didn't practice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they pull it off and it's art, and then they become known for that crazy thing they tried one time. So I think we as engineers need to try that to some extent too, but
something somebody told me one time was to try to, in every, you know, either every project or production or every mix that you do or something, just to put one thing, choose one thing and really, you know, nail, like just try something new. One thing, at least one thing new with every mm-hmm. different thing and experiment with that thing. Yeah. And that way it always stays fresh and you always have something else to pull, you know, out of your bag of tricks and say, mm-hmm. well, that worked really well, or well, that didn't work as well, you know, and then you bypass it and move on. So,
well, that all comes down to time management too, right. And managing how much time you're given to do a mix. And, you know, I was talking about, you know, practice on the snare drum. If you've got an extra 30 minutes to spend on, let's see, should I use the API EQ, the Neve EQ? Should I use the SSL? Should I use no EQ and just multi-bus compress it? I mean, if you've got half an hour to do that, then by all means do that. And if you come up with a good preset,
save it.
Exactly, save it. But let me mention one more thing to you, John, and this kind of plays into exactly what we've been talking about. When you step back and you listen to the mix as a whole, and you go by and you go and you hear that one snare drum that's too loud, or you hear that one vocal that you didn't tune, this is the reason I don't bounce in Pro Tools.
Yeah.
This is the reason I bus to another set of tracks in Pro Tools, because it's like picking paint off of a door. You know, nobody notices that first flake of paint that's gone.
Yeah.
And then if you go back and you try to reprint the mix and you hear another little spot, you know, you flick the paint off of that and you have to bounce it every time. You either have to come to a point where you have to turn down the monitors and just don't listen to it anymore.
Yeah.
Or what you can do is what I do is print a physical mix within Pro Tools. If you've got the track count to do that, then print the mix in Pro Tools. And then what happens is you can punch in that mix.
Yeah.
The automation is all still there, and it says all I need to do is grab the turnaround because I didn't have the electric guitar loud enough. You can't hear what he's playing.
Yeah.
And then you go back, you punch that mix, you consolidate it, export it, because at some point you have to trust your instincts, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the way you do all that is always was an eye opener for me too. I mean, I would always print in Pro Tools and everything with the buses and everything, but you set up multiple so you can record the multiple types of mixes, TV mix, that sort of thing at the same time and through aux sends. And that was always impressive to me, was that you not only would print your, you know, the turnaround for the standard mix, but it would print, you know, print the turnaround on every other mix that you have going. Right. Just a huge time saver for people that need TV mix. They need a vocal stem, and they need the stems and everything. Right. You know, it really is a time saver for people that that need those type of things.
Exactly. So. Exactly. So hopefully that helps. And maybe for the guys listening to the podcast, maybe you can chime in, help us out on this conversation. How do you print your mix? I mean, how do you know when you're done with the mix? I would love to hear your opinion. I learn from you guys every day. So anyway, I will see you in the comment sections, and then we'll try to put together another podcast for you in a couple of weeks. See you later.
For a free download of Kevin's video called 5 Things Every Great Mixer Knows, head over to mixcoach.com/freetips.